The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with criminals, one on his right hand and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothes. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him.
If you go into our godly playroom in down the hall, you'll see that there's a large piece of yellow felt, about 3 feet by 3 feet. And around the edges of it are 52 colored squares, and they're in the shape of a clock, only there's 52 of these little squares instead of 12. And each of the small pieces represents one Sunday in the church. And so they're colored according to the church season. Advent, there's four blue ones, Christmas, two white. Epiphany is white, and Lent is purple. Easter is white, and then there's a long series of green squares that represent the Sundays in the season of Pentecost. And in the middle, there is an arrow, like the hand of a clock. And each Sunday, one child is chosen to move the arrow to the correct one more Sunday so that they can see what Sunday it is. It's a very visual way of teaching the kids the church calendar. Today, the arrow is about 11 o'clock. It's at the last of the long green section of patches there, just before the first blue one, because today is the last Sunday in the season of Pentecost, and it's known as Christ the King Sunday. On this Sunday, we always remember Christ as the King, and there's always Bible passages chosen that talk about Jesus as a king. We remember the kingship of Christ, and it's the same as we say in the Nicene Creed every Sunday. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and his kingdom will have no end. Well, in his earthly life, Jesus was not a king. He was not born of a royal family. He was born to peasants, to Mary and Joseph. And he lived a life like any human being. He was a sage. He was a teacher. He was a healer. He was a spirit person. But people came to see him as a kingly figure. Early in the early church began to see Jesus by reading back into the Old Testament. In our Old Testament lesson today, Jeremiah says that God is going to raise up a righteous branch, and he's talking about a descendant of David who will take the throne of David and be a righteous king and bring justice and prosperity to the people. In the days to come, Jeremiah says, there will be a descendant of David on the throne. So people began to see Jesus in that light. And in the gospel today, there's an ironic portrayal of Jesus as the king. The scene is the crucifixion of Jesus. Seems odd for us to read a crucifixion story in November instead of Lent or Easter. But in the scene today, we get the little picture there of Jesus being crucified with two criminals. And as they're being crucified, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So he forgives his executioners. And the people who come by mock Jesus, the leaders and the soldiers mock him. They say, "If you're the king of the Jews, then save yourself." And even one criminal says, "If you're the Messiah, then save yourself and us." And nailed up over Jesus is a sign that says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's a sign that Pilate ordered, and he meant it in a sarcastic way. He was making fun of Jesus, saying, oh sure, here's your king, but he's just being crucified. The second criminal, however, recognizes something different, and he says to the first criminal, don't you fear God? We're being punished because we deserve it, but he hasn't done anything to deserve crucifixion. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, the irony in this scene is just thick. It's so ironic. Jesus is being put to death like a criminal, but his actions are the actions of a king. He forgives his executioners. Well, who can forgive except a king? And Jesus grants mercy to the criminal. Well, who can grant mercy but a king? And the sign that says Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is meant to be sarcastic, but ironically, it tells the truth. Jesus is the king. Jesus acts with nobility and authority even when he's being crucified. And only the second criminal recognizes it. Well, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the early church saw Jesus as ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God. And so the slogan or the catchphrase of the early church was, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord above all earthly lords. And of course, it got him into trouble because if Jesus is Lord, then that means that Augustus Caesar is not Lord. And that's a subversive thing. So today we celebrate that the risen Christ is king of the whole creation and reigns over all things. Some people today say we ought to get rid of that word king and the word kingdom, because they just reek of patriarchy and hierarchy. They say God doesn't have any gender. They say God is not a man sitting on a throne. We ought to get rid of all that old-fashioned patriarchal language. God is not like the human kings that we know who have abused their power. So we should just get rid of those words. Instead of kingdom, we should take the G out and say kingdom, because God is a relation in relationship to everyone. Well, I think that everyone knows what a king is. Everyone knows what a kingdom is. Even children seem to intuitively know what a king is, or a queen. A king or a queen is a person in charge of a kingdom. When there's a king or a queen in a fairy tale, children understand right away that this person has authority over everyone, but is also responsible for prosperity and for the administration of justice. So you can always look to the king to make things right. Anyone can come to the king and make a petition to get a wrong righted. And children know the difference between a good king and a bad king. The idea of a king, it seems to me, is deeply embedded in our minds. It's like an archetype. So I don't think we can really get rid of it, even if we wanted to. And I think it's a useful word. How is Jesus our king? He's certainly not king of this world. We see suffering and poverty and injustice. If Jesus were king of this world, there'd be no homeless people, there'd be no racially motivated killings, there'd be no environmental destruction. And the kings of this world, the kings of industry and the kings of entertainment and finance and politics and all those kings, They're not going to bring us into the kingdom of God. They work for themselves. And they're false kings and false shepherds, like Jeremiah was talking about in the Old Testament lesson today. But the words and the actions of Jesus show us what a true king is. I think of it like this. Once upon a time, there was a kingdom in which everything was going wrong. There was corruption, there was falsehoods everywhere, there was things were falling apart. And the king was not being a good king. There had been a series of bad kings, and things were just getting worse and worse. But the people heard that there was that their king was in another kingdom, and he was on his way to come back and take his rightful place on the throne. And that gave them hope, because they knew that there was a good king who would do right by them. And that's where we are as Christians. We believe that Jesus is our true king, that he's coming, and that he'll make things right. So through Jesus' life and teaching, we know what his kingdom is like, and so we work for the coming of his kingdom. We're like the second criminal. All around us is chaos and death and destruction. But in Jesus, we see what true life is like. And we say, Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Amen.